Blog Talk Radio.
I can overcome.
Saints and friends, and welcome to another episode of the Serious Bible Study. I'm your host, Prophet Keith Douglas, and today we're going to be talking about overcoming a spirit of deaf and dumbness. Overcoming a deaf and dumb spirit. You don't want to miss this broadcast this morning. Go get your coffee, get your Cheerios, your oatmeal, whatever it is that you write with, take notes with, and join us in the study of the Word when we talk about overcoming a deaf and dumb spirit. Amen. Before we get started, I want to make a couple of brief announcements. For those of you that are not monthly supporters of the Serious Bible Study, we need your help. Amen. Many of the people that listen to this broadcast are monthly supporters, and the Serious Bible Study is a covering entity for several people in ministry, several churches across the country, and we want you to be a part to share in what it is that we do, which is to preach the gospel to every creature, to demonstrate the principles of God's kingdom, and to help us in developing an apostolic and prophetic generation of believers that have regional, national, global influence in the earth. And so in order to do that, we need you to go to our website at KOGWOC. That's KOGWOC.org. Sow a seed, a monthly seed of support that will help us in being able to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out and to connect people to this prophetic and apostolic ministry that has truly demonstrated that it is a ministry of power, ministry of excellence, and has the ability to bring the gospel into the hearts and lives of those that are listening from a prophetic and an apostolic position. Amen. So in order to do that, again, we need your help. We want you to pray, ask the Lord what he would have you to do to be a support of this ministry that helps us to get out the word of God and to minister to the lives of those not only in this country, but internationally as well. And in order to do that, we need everyone to do their due diligence in sowing a seed of support. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so for those of you that are first time givers and supporters of the ministry, we want to send you a little gift. And so make sure that we know who you are. Designate to us that you're a first-time sower, and we are going to send you a gift. Amen. A token of our appreciation for you becoming a part of our team. Amen. Excuse me. And we are a great team all across the country. We have partners lined up in North Carolina. We have partners lined up in Ohio. We have partners in Iowa. We have partners in Illinois. We have partners in Indiana, Texas, Oklahoma, glory to God, Tennessee, Michigan, all over the United States. We have partners in Alabama, glory to God, hallelujah. Partners in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, amen, glory to God. And so we have partners all across the country that are sowing and reaping the benefits of being connected to this great ministry. And so we want you to experience that as well. God bless each and every one of you that will take the mantle, take the charge, take the call to be able to become a part of this ministry by sowing into it your best seed of support. Amen. Also this morning, if you are in the Oklahoma City area, I will be ministering this morning at 10 o'clock a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. Glory to God. We will be involved at Transformation Church. My great friend and pal and co-laborer in the ministry, Pastor Clarence Johnson, he has invited me to come and to share the word this Sunday, this great Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon at 6 p.m. And his church is located on Grand May and Grand Avenue, one block west of North May Avenue. Amen. And so you take May Avenue and you travel north or south to Grand Boulevard, and then you will go west on Grand Boulevard, about a half a block from May Avenue. Can't miss it. We'll be at his church this morning, preaching, teaching, prophesying, ministering the gospel at all costs, giving the devil a black eye, becoming a weapon of mass destruction and an ambassador of disaster for the devil and all his folks this morning. So if you're in the Oklahoma City area this morning, we want you to come out to one of the meetings. I promise you the Lord will bless you this morning. Amen. 10 o'clock a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. tonight. Glory to God. And so if you're not in the Oklahoma City area, fly in. Glory to God. Get on the bus, Gus. It's probably too late to get on the train, but fly in this morning. Those of you that are in the Atlanta area, fly in. Those of you in Kentucky, we want you to fly in this morning and be a part of the services. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right. Also, I will be the date for my trip to Dallas has been pushed back a week. Was originally scheduled to be there in the Dallas-Fort Worth area on the 12th, but now I'm going to be there on March the 19th. March 19th, I will be in the Dallas area in Allen, Texas at the Ark Church. My great friend, Pastor Chuck Bethany at the Ark Church. We will be there for a 4 o'clock in the afternoon service for Pastor Chuck Bethany on the 19th. And we'll get the direct information to his church to you as soon as we can, as soon as next week, we'll start getting that information out to you. All right, glory to God. We want to get into prayer and get started on today's lesson. Won't be long today because I got to go and run my mouth this morning and this afternoon at 6 p.m. So let's pray and get into the teaching this morning. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful and so wonderfully blessed to be able to arise this morning and to hear your voice. Speak to our hearts this morning that we might know. Help us to understand the words, O God, of your kingdom, that our lives, O God, may be developed and matured into the vessel that you have called us to be. In Jesus' mighty name, we rebuke the devil and all his cohorts and any effort that they deemed to use to try to hinder, to try to bring about the demise of what it is you're going to deposit in your people today. We rebuke them and we allow them to stand here, O God, while we come forward, O God, and demonstrate the power of your kingdom and destroy every aspect, every ounce of their works, O God. And they can do nothing about it but hear about their demise. And so we give you great praise, we give you great glory, and we thank you for the word this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen and amen. Thank God for those that are listening by way of the internet, my internet crew. We thank you so much for being a part this morning. Also, we want to welcome all of my faithful friends on the phone lines lined up all across the country this morning. Looks like we have a great group of people that have assembled this morning. And we thank you so much for allowing us to come into your lives so early in the morning. Amen. And so we give you praise and we give you glory for it in Jesus' mighty name. All right. If you have your Bibles this morning, we want you to turn to the book of Mark, chapter 9. Book of Mark, chapter 9. Again, we're talking about overcoming a deaf and dumb. Amen. Glory to God. And so, let's begin reading Mark, chapter 9, verse 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he takes him, he tears him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, pineth away. And I spake to the disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell to the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out, and said with tears, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. And when Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, the disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Glory to God. All right, we want to get into the teaching this morning about the deaf and dumb spirit. And when the Bible speaks of deaf and dumb, it is referring to a condition that keeps us from fully functioning in the proper behavior God intended for us as believers. And so it is a tool that the enemy tries to use against us to keep us out of the place of power, the place of dominion, the place of authority that God has sanctioned and ordained for our lives. Many of us have taken on this spirit unawarely. Hello, somebody. Unawarely, we have taken on this spirit of deaf and dumbness, and sometimes we take it on purposefully in order to keep from operating as the Lord would have us to operate. You say, Prophet, how has this happened? Well, there are times when we play as though we can't hear and we can't talk. I don't hear nobody talking to me this morning. How many times has the Lord mentioned to you to do something, and your response was, huh? Something that is going to be challenging to our faith. A lot of times we act like we can't hear. And we do it sometimes because it is a defense mechanism that is in our flesh that allows us to seek only the pleasurable, the comfortable. But the hard things sometimes we don't want to get involved in. And so when that happens, when the Lord speaks, well then instead of saying, Yea, Lord, this is your servant, I hear you, our response is, huh? I didn't hear you. Or else we just go along and act as though we couldn't hear. I know it's not you. It's not you. You're too sanctified, too holy to do that. But there's been times when the Lord has asked me to do something and I just let it go right over my head and acted as though I did not hear what he just said. And sometimes he has to come back a second time. Sometimes he has to come back a third time. Sometimes he has to create a situation to get our attention. And then all of a sudden, we're all ears now. We want to hear what thus saith the Lord. And he laughs at us, I bet, sometimes. And he says, oh, now you're ready to hear me. I had to do all of that to get your attention. That's the deaf spirit. And now here comes the dumb. The dumb spirit is a spirit that takes away your ability to speak and to act as though you have mental problems. Oh, y'all ain't going to like me this morning. You're not going to like me. He said, I thought you had to preach, Prophet. Why don't you go and preach this morning and stop messing with us? Well, you got to understand, I enjoy my role of messing with your life. I do. I thoroughly enjoy it. And when we try to play like as though we are dumb, like we can't speak, that, my friends, is connected to a spirit of fear. Glory to God. When you don't speak to something, don't confront something, oftentimes it is because you are afraid of the outcome. You're afraid of the discomfort that it's going to cause. And so we don't say anything at all, which is a problem for the believer, because the Bible says that God has given you the power of life and death in your tongue. And so you can speak life to something, speak death to something. You have the ability to prophesy. You have the ability to declare a thing and it come to pass, because God has given us power. He's given us dominion. He's given us authority over everything in the earth. So anything that exists in our personal lives is the result of a lack of understanding and immaturity. But when it comes to deaf and dumb, the dumb will not allow you to confront and to speak as God would have you to speak. And the deaf spirit will take away your hearing so that faith won't come. Jesus is talking to this man whose son has the deaf and dumb spirit. And he said, when did this thing come on this boy? And it says when he was a child, or when he was in his immature state. Immaturity is is spoken of in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, where the Lord says to us, he gives us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the edification of the body of Christ, for the equipping of the saints, that they no more be children, watch this, tossed to and fro by every sleight of hand. You know, sleight of hand is now you see it, now you don't. The cunning craftiness of men. And so we allow ourselves to be up and down, wishy-washy, however you want to say it, until we come into the knowledge of the truth. And once we get an understanding of who we are in Christ, then all things are possible to those who believe. And Jesus makes the statement in verse 23. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. If you can. Because faith, the foundation of faith is rooted in belief. Faith is a belief. That belief is in God for the things, and it, for it, our belief is in God and his word for the things that we hope for and we cannot see. So faith connects us to that which is unseen, unknown. And so for the believer, faith brings us into a place of the supernatural. And so the man said that he took the boy to the disciples, but they could not cast him out. That's an important statement that he makes, because he says, I took him to those who were following you, and they could not cast him out. And so there's a reason why that he uses the terminology disciples, because those disciples are in training. They are followers of Christ. Matthew chapter 10 says that the disciples that were following Christ, he said that he gave them power, and then he changed their name from disciples to apostles. It's a different aspect, because apostles have authority over demonic spirits, principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. And that is the apostolic realm, is that whenever you see the Lord talking about apostles, you see attached to their life the ability to demonstrate the power of God. The disciples hadn't got to that in their, that realm of belief and understanding and demonstration of the Word of God in their teaching. And so Jesus tells them at the end that the reason why you can't cast these out is because you haven't fasted and you haven't prayed, but we'll get to that at a later date through your training. So they were not trained to do it. That's why they couldn't do it. And so the deaf spirit comes to destroy your faith, because faith comes by hearing. The dumb spirit does not allow you to take authority, because it causes you to refuse to speak. And a lot of times the root cause of that is fear, because the opposite of fear is faith. And so the enemy attacks us with deafness and dumbness so that he can make a spectacle out of us. See, when you allow an unclean spirit to come into a clean habitation, the Bible says that the enemy comes in, not just himself, but he comes with seven other of his friends. And his whole thing is to discourage you from operating, discourage you from functioning as a true believer should. Because a true believer would do exactly what Jesus said he did. He rebuked the devil and commanded him to come out. Glory to God. That is how easy it is to establish the authority that God has given us as believers, is to receive the word and speak the truth. Amen. Demons understand the truth. I have a teaching that I've been involved in over the years, and I said that Jesus makes the statement that when you've seen me, you've seen the kingdom. So whenever Jesus comes, he comes to establish dominion, authority, and power. Amen. And he does that by exposing us to the four aspects of the kingdom. And the image, the language, the culture, and the customs that belong to the kingdom is what Jesus exposes us to through his teaching. He shows us the image of God, the language of the kingdom, and the customs that belong to us as a believing body, and the culture that is associated with us as believers. And the language of the kingdom is faith. Say that with me this morning. The language of the kingdom is faith. That is our governor, that is our ruling, our dominant language. You know, here in America, they're teaching us to be bilingual, and our second language is supposed to be Spanish. Well, if you're a believer, your first language should be English. I'm sorry, your first language should be the language of the kingdom, which is faith. And the second language, it should be English. And so in the kingdom, whenever you speak outside of faith, then that to the Lord is baby talk, babbling, gurgling sounds that are uninterpreted. And so the enemy wants to affect us so that we get involved in baby talk, making noises, making sounds, but not speaking from the abundance of the heart. As David said, "Thy word, Lord, have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you." So if we place the word in our heart, then from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When we speak the word of God from our hearts, the Bible says that it has power, and the power of life and death attached to it, associated with it. So the most dangerous person on the planet is the believer that knows how to utilize the language of the kingdom, which is faith. And if you begin to utilize the language of the kingdom, then what happens is, all things, he says, verse 23, are possible if that's what you believe. If you believe in the language of the kingdom and you know how to utilize the language and you're not a child anymore, but you speak like an adult, then that means that the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. What you say now can tear down strongholds. But in order for us to be manipulated and used by the enemy, we have to take on a deaf and dumb spirit. And it comes upon us as a result of being immature. But watch this. Our inability to remove things from our life is the result of a lack of fasting and prayer. Oh, man, I said it, didn't I? The F word and the P word. The F word is fasting, and the other one is prayer. Those are the two things that the enemy has been consistent in keeping away from and out of the lives of believers. Because we don't fast and we don't pray, we are not equipped to destroy the spirits of the the enemy that are not elementary, you know, like headache demons and stub toe demons. You know what I'm talking about. But the more advanced things that we come up against, a lot of times we're not victorious over them. And that's because of the fact that we as believers don't like to deny ourselves. We are some spoiled, rotten little rich kids. That because our daddy has the power and authority, a lot of times we go running to him. And Jesus goes off on a tangent. He goes off on a tangent because they're bringing this child to him and said the disciples couldn't cast him out. And he said, he called them a faithless generation. And how long will I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? He said, how long am I going to have to fight your battles for you? Yeah, he goes off. He goes off because he believes that you have come far enough in your Christian walk now that you should be able to cast this thing out yourself. But because of the lack of fasting and prayer, we are not spiritually prepared to take on demonic forces, demonic sources of unusual entities, and we can't rebuke them and they go away. We rebuke them and they get stronger, seems like. And he's got this guy foaming at the mouth, wobbling on the ground like a crazy person. Remember, David took on that spirit when he was afraid that Achish the king and his forces would find out who he really was, who was the king of Israel. And so he starts spitting and foaming at the mouth, and they said, this man has a demon. This cannot be the David that they wrote songs about. And David did not want to expose his identity for fear of people knowing who he was. Get that. Sometimes as what we do as believers is we don't want to expose our identity because we don't want people to know really who we are. I don't hear nobody talking to me. Glory to God. And so there are situations in our lives that really are making a spectacle of us. Making a spectacle of us by allowing us to be made fun of, mocked in the sight of people because we refuse to demonstrate the power that God has given us. Don't turn me off. Don't click me off. I know you'll click me off and go back to sleep in just a moment. But overcoming a deaf and dumb spirit is very easy if you are prepared to utilize the principles of the kingdom, to take the authority that God has given you, and to speak to mountains and mountains be removed. But you have to prepare yourself spiritually to do battle with spiritual entities. The devil does not go away. Matter of fact, he never takes a vacation. He never takes a vacation because his goal is to find the chink in your armor that will allow him to get a foothold and to come unto you and to treat you in such a way that he makes a spectacle out of you. Makes it seem like the power of God is not with you so that others will not follow you. Are you hearing me this morning? He will make us sometimes play crazy, act like we don't understand, like we can't hear, like we are able to. It's like, really, are we really able to be defeated by the works of the devil? Really? He has no authority and no power in our lives except for what we give him. Are we really, really able for the enemy to take authority over our lives in such a way? Like that can really happen? Amen. But I come, the Bible says, that you might have life and have life more abundantly. So let's get rid of this thing. The way that you do that is, first of all, you have to make a decision in your life that there is no weapon formed against you that's going to be able to prosper. And once you believe that and receive that, then you can start utilizing the power that God has given you as a believer to rebuke the devil. And the Bible says he will flee. And so the enemy's trying to keep us out of faith, to keep us from walking in faith, and to keep us in a place where he destroys our witness. We're trying to draw attention to the kingdom of God and say, the kingdom of God is this. And it's really not, because we're giving them an image, a false image of the kingdom, which actually says that the kingdom of God can be defeated. And as a believer, you cannot be defeated unless you allow yourself to operate in a realm of unbelief. Hello? Unbelief. Jesus says, I'll cast these. He said, bring the boy to me and I'll get rid of it. And the guy said, Lord, I can believe it, but I need you to help me with my unbelief. Therein lies the essence of the problem. Many believers allow themselves to function and to operate in unbelief when you really know the truth. And the Bible says that if you come to know the truth won't set you free, but it'll make you free. You don't have any choice. When you introduce truth based on the word of God and the kingdom of God, then there is no weapon formed against us. And so he, at least he's honest, and he says, Lord, help me in the place where I don't believe. And I try to believe the best of all people. But the thing that bothers me with believers is how often they allow themselves to fall into a place of unbelief, where nothing that you tell them are they willing to take to heart, and they just allow themselves to be defeated. Glory to God. So Jesus commands the dumb and the deaf spirit to come out and not to come back. And that was the end of the matter. Some of us have some lingering things in our lives that don't seem to want to go away. And part of that is because we're trying to play crazy and we're trying to play like we can't get rid of it, but we're not willing to fast and we're not willing to really pray about the situation because it's more comfortable for us to be in a vulnerable position than to operate in the power. we don't want to operate in the power. Because we don't want people to know that we have the power. Because they'll be bringing people to us to lay hands on the sick, which is exactly what Ephesians 4 says. We're going to equip the saints to do the work. So in order to keep from doing the work, you play crazy and play like you're not in that position. Come on, don't mess with me. I'm coming for you this morning. And Lord, help us if we say we're going to skip a meal. Lord, help us if we say we're going to skip a meal. Lord, help us if we're going to push aside those wings and the chips and the pizza and the pasta and the barbecue and the fried chicken. The saints have a demon loose in their life, and it's that bird, man. If we could just get off the chicken, we would be powerful. But you can't take the chicken and put it in our face and then expect us not to partake. Amen. You know what it is you like to eat, and you save, sanctify, filled with the Holy Ghost, empower until somebody puts that in your face, and then you become like a weak child. Ice cream, cake, and cookies. Don't that sound good this morning? Pancakes with lots of butter. Stuff with a lot of melted cheese on it. See, I'm going to make you hungry this morning. And that's what controls the believer, is his belly, not his belief. If we would push the plate away and get into some true fasting and prayer, we would see some of these things go away in our life that have taken on these long-term vacations in our lives, get rid of them and move on. So, it's that simple to get rid of the deaf and dumb. Faith comes by hearing, so make a decision to hear what God is saying. And that's why he used to always preface some of the things that he said with, "He that has an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, let him hear." We have selected hearing. We hear what we want to hear. We want to hear about the blessing, but we don't want to hear about the sacrifice. We want to hear about all the things that are good, but for us, but we don't want to step into the realm that really makes you a believer. And what really makes you a believer is when you cross over into being a witness. When you deny yourself and you want to now do something for somebody else, and the enemy does not want you to be able to do anything for anybody else, or else everybody will start doing it. And his reign of terror will be over. Long as I can keep Christians focused on themselves, they ain't going to do nothing. They won't do nothing for the kingdom as long as I can get them to do something for themselves. But if I ever get them out of their comfort zone and get them to think like Jesus is like the situations that people come up against, if you have the power, then you who are spiritual are supposed to restore. So the enemy attacks us, and when he attacks us, he attacks those of us that he knows are Christians. And that he knows who has the power, because if he can get us looking like and making a spectacle out of us, then the people who are not born again won't even try to become Christians. So we're slowing down what God wants to do in the earth as believers, because we won't do anything for anybody else with our selfish selves. God gonna bring us out of that today, because since you tuned in and you're listening, faith comes by hearing. Once you hear the word, now you're responsible for it. So we're gonna get rid some of those things that have been long-term residents in your life today. By giving you a word of faith, go on a fast, and add to that an increase in your prayer time. And you'll begin to see those difficult things in your life begin to move in Jesus' name. And then utilize the weapons of your warfare, which is the word of God that you hid in your heart, and the ability to speak and release that thing into the earth and command it to go, because God has given you power. You got the Holy Ghost. You've been had the Holy Ghost since you were 12. If you had the Holy Ghost, then you had the power to remove and to destroy the works of the devil. Stop letting the devil play you for being crazy. Acting what got you walking around and acting like you done lost your mind and scatterbrained and got you to the point where you don't know where you're going or coming. The Lord rebuke us, not the devil. The Lord rebuke us for acting like that. And allow us now to begin to release the power and to speak and to confront. See, most people have a fear of confrontation. We don't like confrontation because it makes us uncomfortable. Because it makes it seem like that the way you feel just before you get in a fight. You don't like that feeling. You don't like for people to make you mad to the point where you're getting in a fight because you go mess around and make me put my hands on you. Well, that's what the enemy sometimes requires, is sometimes you got to put your hands on him, and sometimes you got to choke him until he taps out. If you want him to leave you alone, sometimes you got to put him in that chokehold and make him tap out. That's what the word of God does when you release it against him, is it busts him upside his little funny head, and it makes him tap out. He has no response for the word of God. But we as believers sit around there telling, I can't do it, I can't. He's doing it. And the Lord is like, how long have you been with me that I got to come to your rescue when I've already given you the word? I've already given you the authority and the power. I gave that to you in Genesis. He blessed them and he gave them dominion, authority, and power over the birds of the air, the fish in the sea, and everything that creeps and crawls on the earth, everything that flies in the air. You have authority over that. And the only reason why you're being defeated is because you're playing crazy, like I didn't give it to you. If the world didn't give it to you, then the world can't take it away from you. So why are you standing there looking, being made a spectacle of, when God has given you power? Oh, but I did. I commanded go, and it still didn't go. Well, then go on a fast and pray. Huh? Yeah, okay. That's what I'm saying. Whenever you start to talk about fasting and praying, then all of a sudden people can't hear you. Whenever you tell them to do something that is not directly related to their self, then all of a sudden they play crazy like they can't hear you. Because what God is wanting to do is he's wanting to destroy the works of the devil through you and make a witness to the devil that greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. We don't want to make that. We don't want to be used of God to make a spectacle of the devil unless it's for our benefit, selfishness. Anyway, I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here, but I want to open up the phone lines this morning, and then I want to pray for people to get out of this deaf and dumb spirit this morning and get back to yourselves and stop allowing the enemy to make a spectacle of you. I want to take some calls before I go. If you're on the internet and you want to get in on this conversation, dial 646-595-2110. That's 646-595-2110. For those of you that are on the phone lines listening this morning, you know the drill, press star 1. If you want to talk, if you got a comment that you want to make, press star 1 on your phone. I hope I haven't stepped on your toes and stepped on your toes too much this morning. But my desire is to get you out of that deaf and dumb spirit and get you to stop playing crazy. And yeah, I said the F word, fasting. I have never seen so many overweight Christians in my life. Hello. You can't say something about it if it ain't true in you. I said it because it's true in me. Hello. Not enough fasting and praying going on in order for some of these things to be removed. And whenever we get serious about it, and that's what fasting does to the Lord, it lets him know that you're serious about this thing. And as soon as you get serious about it, then he said, I'll give you the power that allows signs to follow what it is that you believe. All right? Listen, I want to hear from you this morning, unless I'm talking to myself. There's a lot of people on the phone line this morning. I want to take some calls pertaining to overcoming a deaf and dumb spirit. Not going to linger with you long today because I got to preach in about an hour and a half. So those of you that are listening, let's get with the drill. Press star 1 on your phone if you want to make a comment this morning. Amen. We lined up from the East Coast all the way to Oklahoma this morning, so surely faith has come. Faith comes by hearing, and if you don't make a comment, then that means that you haven't heard a word that I said. Amen. Anybody out there want to take a stab at this deaf and dumb spirit? Caller from the 216.
Good morning. Good morning, Prophet Douglas. It's Diane from Cleveland.
Diane from Cleveland, God bless.
God bless you. I'm so glad that you brought this up this morning because the Lord has definitely been dealing with me on fasting, although I don't know about it. And I guess, all this is true. It's been kind of a fear of mine, like, you know, oh my God, do you have to do it all day for 30 days? I mean, I've heard of people just drinking water, and I'm like, how do you do that? So I don't really, I would assume that you start small. Is that correct? Does it matter? I mean, I guess the enemy has tried to put in my head, you know, if you don't do it big, I mean, it doesn't, he's not going to honor it, you know, which all that is probably a bunch of malarkey, but as far as, you know, if you don't just not eat, it doesn't work, is what the enemy tries to put in my head. So that's a question that I have for you. How do you start? Because I want to start doing that. What is the proper way? Is there a proper way? Do you go to God? What is it? How do you do it?
Well, what you do is you look at your life and say, what is it that is in my life that's in excess?
Right.
That I lean on. I mean, there's some people, whenever things start to happen in their life, they get so discouraged, and one of the things they do is they eat.
Right.
You know that the culture in this country is that what's the first thing that you do when you get out of church? What's the first thing that happens once you get out of church?
Oh, I mean, people plan to go to be Golden Corral. I mean, it's eating. It could be 11 o'clock at night, and let's go eat at Applebee's. Mm-hmm.
Let's go eat. And you know why that is? The reason for that is that they're trying to satisfy their flesh with what they didn't get spiritually.
Oh.
church because I wasn't being fed. Oh, really? Because your hungry self wants to eat continually. So the preacher's responsibility is to make sure that you got a table set before you. Instead of Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you got to do what? Deny yourself. Do something for somebody else. Nope. Nope. That is not the Christian way. I come to get the blessing for myself. The Lord says, deny yourself. The biggest hindrance to the body of Christ right now, I can tell you, most of it is television. That ain't you don't eat that. But we eat it up to the tune of about 7 or 8 hours a day. And the Lord says, but you can carry with me 1 hour. You fall asleep trying to pray 1 hour. Find the place where the stronghold is. If it's food, deny yourself. If it's meat, deny yourself. If it's television, deny yourself. If it's sexual sin, deny yourself. And you'll begin to open up the doors of the kingdom, because when nothing has dominion over you, then you can speak a word in due season and things will come to pass.
Amen.
Got that?
Yeah, I have just one more quick question, if I may.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody else is in queue waiting. Is there somebody?
Yeah, we have a caller from 330 that's
okay.
On deck.
Okay, I know who that is. I have also heard that fasting, sometimes you should not fast because when you fast, there's a door open. Doors are open, and sometimes if you're not strong enough to be fasting strong, the enemy can come in. Is that correct? That you have to be wise as to when you fast and how long you fast?
That is the devil talking. And that's part of the deaf and dumb spirit, is that, you know, he'll say dumb stuff and then we'll say, okay, yeah, right. Now, the Lord just said that some things only come about by fasting and prayer, so why would he tell you not to fast?
Right, okay. I got you.
Just that quick, he'll tell us a lie and then we'll believe it, and then he's like, oh, Lord.
Okay.
All right.
God bless.
Bless you. Caller from the 330, you are on the line. Caller from the 862, you are on deck.
Hi, this is Laura from Cleveland area as well, Diane's friend. How are you this morning?
Fine this morning. How are you?
I'm well, and Diane actually asked most of my questions because I, too, have been in a kind of a quandary about fasting and have not really partaken in it fully, not understanding it. So you did answer many of my questions through Diane. My one question, and she might have touched on it, like I do know that fasting does come from the Lord, so you know, that is a lie of the enemy when he tries to tell you that, oh, you know, other doors would be opened and whatnot. But my question is, how do we know when the timing is to fast? Like, I understand when you said, you know, examine your life and see where your excess is. You know, is it social media? Is it TV? Is it food? You know, whatever it is individually for us. But I'm kind of curious as to how do we tap in to know when God is calling us to fast?
When you have situations, circumstances in your life that won't go away.
Okay.
When you pray
and
nothing happens.
Makes perfect
sense.
When
you speak the word in a situation and the thing doesn't go anywhere, and then that, I need more spiritual authority.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm fasting, I'm cutting the flesh. I'm separating myself from the flesh and becoming more spiritual.
Okay.
The more
Amen.
Spiritual,
that...
the more spirit, the more power.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jesus was the spirit. They said, Master, don't you think that you need something to eat? He said, man, I got food that you don't know nothing about.
Amen.
It's in
right.
the spirit. I got power. My belly doesn't control me. I don't have to eat.
Wow, that's good.
I don't have to eat
and that
flesh.
Makes,
this is
yeah.
my food.
Right. I remember a day, if I could just quickly share with you, that the Lord did speak to me to turn everything off. He said, you know, don't answer your phone. Don't look at your phone. Don't go on Facebook. Turn the television off. Sit on this couch. Just you, just me, just your Bible. And it was just a time of such refreshing. And I just didn't even realize how much time had passed. And before I knew it, I had been sitting there in communion with the Lord and just the Word for 3 hours, and I didn't even realize it seemed like a second. But when I was done, it was 3 hours. So I definitely appreciate you bringing this. This is a very timely word for me and confirmation for me on the things that I need to do and the reasons why, like you said, some of the things that I've been struggling with and have been praying about have not broken off yet. So thank you. I appreciate this very much.
Well, I think I'm going to go on a fast, and I'm going to pray for all the cell phone towers to go out.
Right?
How about that? I'm going to pray that nobody be able to use a cell phone for 30 days.
Wow.
And I guarantee you, you'll see demons hopping out of yards and out of houses and stuff. You'll see demons coming out of everywhere because if people get away from that, the place where they're wasting their time, they'll put their time to good use. And the telephone is killing us, literally.
Yes, yes.
When you put it up to your ear, they're finding out that it's causing cancer for those people that want to stay on it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I wish the matter of fact, I can't stand mine half the time. I don't even answer it. And my son gets mad because I don't know how to work the phone that I got. And I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care because it is a distraction. And so fast on the phone for a day and watch and see if you don't start going through withdrawals. Your nose start to run, you start to get irritable. It'd be just like a drug habit.
I believe it.
When we get serious about things, then the Lord will get serious with us. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you, caller. Caller from the 862, Prophet.
Prophet. Good morning, Prophet. Can you hear me, sir? Amen. Good morning, everybody. Truly, this morning, this has been an ouch word. And I think it's so relevant. And a few minutes ago, you said some key things. And Jesus clearly said, deny yourself. You know, life has beat us up so much that we don't know if we need to protect ourselves or put ourselves out there on a limb. And our faith has truly dwindled. And I know for myself, when I look back, when I first fell in love with Jesus, nothing stopped me. Nothing stopped me from bringing people to church. Nothing stopped me from laying hands on the sick and declaring decrees in people's lives and just any and everywhere I went. Nothing stopped me from being radical for the Lord. Nothing stopped me from giving out my last for someone else. And life has beat us up so much that now I have to, Lord, is that what you want me to do? You know, I got to second guess what's in my own heart to make sure that I'm not giving into the wrong ground, if I'm not sowing somewhere that God does not want me to be sowing. You know, because as we mature, we learn a lot of things, and we learn to be watchful for many things to make sure that we're in the right place. But in doing so, even on this past week, I said, Lord, I have to just go ahead and follow my heart and don't worry about the rest because you've always took care of me. you have always taken care of me. And I want to say this to the young lady who asked, she asked a question about when to fast, and then she answered her own question. But please remember that God knows what's on your heart. And he's going to honor what's on your heart. Even if you're not sure about something or you don't know everything, you don't have to know everything, because it sounds like you know the voice of God, and that's all you need to know to move forward in the things of God. You know, we're going to learn things as we go. But as long as you're in a place to hear God, obey him. And that's where we are today. Our faith has dwindled because life has beat us up. Hurt and disappointment in life has caused us to be very cautious, where the deaf and dumb spirit takes advantage of us because we don't want to speak out of turn. We want to make sure it's the right time. You know, I'm not running from God. I'm speaking for myself. I'm not running from God, but I ain't rushing either. You know, all these things are just lies that we tell ourselves when we know that what God is saying, we know what God is calling us to do, and we're not lining up with the timing of God. Whether it be a song that we're not singing, if that's your gift, whether, you know, whether we haven't started that Bible study that we should have started, or whether we're just not even, or holding back the love, or walking in love, like God has called us to walk in, because we're so afraid of getting hurt again. Where is our faith? You know, we have to do a better job to stay connected to the Word of God and stay connected to the teachings of God, so that we can grow, and so there won't be any questions about fasting. You know, and feeling like you know you're a baby saint, and I'm a grown saint, so I can't do what they do over there. I can't just go without water. I promise you this. If you set your mind on reading that Bible and getting into some good worship, you will not miss the food. I promise you, you will not miss the food. It's when we try to fast and call fasting taking food away. Because the food being taken away, that's not fasting for the Lord. In order to fast and take the food away, we must feed ourselves with spiritual food. You know, we have to make a distinction between spiritual fasting and earthly fasting, because, you know, the earthly fasting is just starving yourself, but you don't want to starve yourself and not feed yourself spiritually. And that is the purpose. And so that we can get God's attention and like that, and also we can get into a place and we can kill this flesh, because many of us, we're not killing that flesh. Like Paul said, I kill this flesh daily. We have to deny ourselves daily. We have to deny. I deny myself every day. I get up and I go to that school for somebody's child. You know, I deny myself. Some of us have to deny ourselves so we can sing that song that somebody may get saved. Somebody may come crying to the Lord, because you have something on the inside of you that God wants to use, but we're not opening our mouth with a deaf and dumb spirit. We're walking around as prophets. We're not speaking what God is saying.
I'm getting ready to lose all my listeners on the line in just one second here, because what you just said is what I'm getting ready to do. There is a dear friend of mine that is going through a situation, a circumstance right now. And she needs our help. She asked me for help, but she needs our help. And this is what I want. I want 10 people that are on this line today make a sacrifice. And I need you to sow $50. Okay, yep, that's it. Those of you that know me know I don't ask for money, because I don't need your money. But somebody else does. They're in a position where they need help. And I'm looking for 10 people that will step out on faith, that will sacrifice, so $50 to give towards this individual that's going through a really hard time. Now, watch and see if we don't take on the deaf and dumb spirit. Now, watch this. We'll take on that deaf and dumb, and we'll play like, I didn't hear what he said. Okay, this is an opportunity for us as believers to deny ourselves and to see the enemy rebuked because of our ability to hear from God. So, for those of you that hear, I need 10 of you. If more of you hear, fine, that's even more. But I need 10 people to sow $50. And those of you that are on the line on the next call, I'll tell you what happened to the situation, and we'll see if God will arrive. Now,
right.
We got the word. We got, oh, Lord, we got the word. We got the word. We got the word, prophet. Okay, now you got the word. Now, what I want to see now is what's in your heart. Because the body of Christ has gotten to the point now where we can't help nobody, because whenever we start asking for help, they say, shoot, I'm the one needing help. But anybody that knows that's on the line and been a part of this ministry, if you sow into this ministry, you'll never be without. So, anyway, I'm challenging. I'm putting that challenge out there. I need at least 10 people, maybe more. There's more than that on the line. I need at least 10 people that will step out on faith today, and then next week I'll give you the report of what the Lord was able to do. And I may even be able to allow the individual to come on the line to testify. Because what the enemy wants to do is to destroy your witness and to make you think that he is in control of your life, your finances, your health, your wealth, your family, everything that's connected to us, the enemy wants to make a spectacle of it. And the way that he does that is causes us to either say, I'm only going to think about myself, or I'm going to play like I can't hear, and we'll pray for the enemy. Sometimes prayer ain't going to get it. We need to step out on faith. So I'm asking for that to take place. I need at least 10 people to sow $50. Go to our website, kogwoc.org, kogwoc.org, and sow a seed. Not for me, but this individual really needs our help, and I want to help him. And so that's what we're here for. If you got it, amen. If you don't have it, then ask the Lord to give it to you. Because this is a test now. This is a test. And what you will do for others, God will do for you. All right, listen, I'm going to pray, so I got to go, because I got to go run my mouth this morning. But I want all of you that are on the line listening, you should have hung up. You should have hung up. And I'm already losing. Now, they already hung up. The deaf and dumb is going to come on them. But you should have hung up before I got to that $50 part, right? You said, God, dog, I started to get off you. I knew that it was the Lord telling me to get off, but now it didn't hurt. So listen, I want to rebuke the devil and tell him to keep his hands off of God's people, God's anointed. And so I want you to sow this morning. I want you to sow this morning. If you can't sow this morning, I need you to sow Monday morning. I need you to sow before Tuesday. And then we're going to come back on the line and see if what you sowed really accomplished what it was that we needed to accomplish. That's all I'm going to say, because I don't want to give the devil any place. But I want to pray this morning for those of you that are on the line, that the Lord will break the power of that deaf and dumb spirit over our lives. Hold on one second. We got the caller on the line. Caller from 214, quickly.
Yes, prophet, that's half and half. It's already there. So half, half, okay? All right. Be blessed. I'll be praying for you today.
Okay. Amen. All right. That's my friend down in Texas. She's an already sold, bless the Lord. And so what I want to do is I'm going to pray. And I'm going to pray that God rebuke that demonic demon that has been able to keep the authority of the believer in check. I want to release the power of God through the faith of God's people, and that we begin to decree and declare the breakthrough over our lives. No weapon, I don't care what it is, financial, spiritual, health-wise, family-wise, relationship-wise, no weapon formed against us is going to be able to prosper. And every tongue that rises against us, God will silence. Father, I rebuke that deaf and dumb spirit, and I command out. And I pray for restoration to take place, restoration to take place in Jesus' mighty name, complete restoration. I want to see the shackles and the chains that have bound people to come off now in Jesus' name. I want signs and wonders, oh God, to come forth in the lives of those that are listening today as they are obedient to your call, that you will cause, oh God, the power of the enemy to be broken in Jesus' name. Lord, we establish your word right now at the forefront of what we say and what we do, and we will declare and we will shout the victory in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. This is a sowing situation now where God is going to release into the hands of those that are obedient and that sacrifice. You will see an abundance take place in your life. You will see chains broken from things that have existed long term, and you will see the power of God destroy the works of the devil in Jesus' name. We declare it. Amen and amen. Listen again. If you haven't sown to this ministry and you heard the word, go to kogwoc.org. kogwoc.org. Sow a seed of support. If you're listening and you don't want to use a credit card, send a check. Click on the contact button of our website, and it'll give you the address to send the check. Don't send cash. Send a check to that address. And remember, all of your donations are tax deductible. Listen, I got to run this morning. Pray for me as I'm out ministering today. We're going to see a move of God take place like never before. And we want all of you that are on the line this week, get somebody on the line next week, and we're going to shout and declare the victory in Jesus' name on next Sunday, 7 a.m. God bless you. Till the next time, go in peace. And remember, you have the authority to say whatever it is that you want to happen in your life. All you have to do is have faith in God. God bless you. See you next Sunday, 7 a.m.
No matter what it is, just remember, you are an overcomer. Come on, come on, step.